Welcome to WOW Reads, a podcast of the World of Words Center of Global Literacies and Literatures, which is committed to creating an international network of people who share the vision of bringing books and children together, thereby opening windows on the world. We encourage thoughtful dialogue around global literature so that children can reflect on their own cultural experiences and connect to the experiences of children across the globe. This is episode 4 of the WOW Reads podcast, and today we're talking to the Teen Reading Ambassadors.
The Worlds of Words Teen Reading Ambassador Initiative offers high school students a college experience within the University of Arizona College of Education that focuses on books for high school readers. Ambassadors learn about adolescent literature under the direction of faculty and staff with expertise in children's literature, education, library science, and marketing.
We respect and acknowledge the University of Arizona is on the lands and territories of indigenous people. Today, Arizona is home of 22 federally recognized tribes, with Tucson being home to the Odahaim and the Yaqui. Committed to diversity and inclusion, the university strives to build sustainable relations with sovereign Native nations and indigenous communities through education offering, partnerships, and community service.
How far would you go to save your sister?
I'm Sarah Logan, and I'm part of the Teen Reading Ambassador Program.
I'm Echo.
I'm Rebecca. I'm the Associate Director at Worlds of Words.
And I'm also Rebecca.
Today we are reading, or talking about, A Magic Steeped in Poison, which is about a deadly poison that is going around in Ning's home that has unfortunately already taken her mom and now threatens the life of her sister.
Echo, what was the major idea that stuck with you after having read this book?
Just how far someone will go to try to save their sister.
How far does Ning go to save Shu?
She ends up joining a competition to become like the head in a magic based solely on tea and attempt to find a cure.
Yeah, something that I really loved about this book was that relationship, that sister bond, because I can relate to that, and I know how strong that bond can be and how you do anything to save your sister, especially if you carry guilt with the reason that your sibling would be in danger.
Yeah, as Ning and Shu's mom was the Shenongshi, I think. And originally, Shu was positioned to take over that role someday, be the apprentice. But because of what was happening with the poisoning of the tea, Shu got sick. And Ning ended up having to go on this journey in order to kind of save her sister and find a way to cure her sister's ailment.
So for people who don't know, the Shenongshi, the master Shenong magic, is a tea master, correct?
Yeah.
In this book, tea is used as a medicine, and this book carefully balances, it is mainly fantasy, but it doesn't go completely off of reality. It's still a normal town, and I really like how that balances out those two energies, I guess, or genres.
Yeah, so it is based off of one of the dynasties, one of the Chinese dynasties. So when we're talking about the ceremonies, the clothing, the architecture, I would assume it's from that time. And I don't want to say the wrong one. Do you guys remember?
Maybe I'm thinking of Dachi. D-A-X, the Great and Brilliant Empire. But that was the region, Dashi.
Mm-hmm.
So
the Song Dynasty is what I want to say. But are you saying that because I said it?
I just recognize that name from world history.
I don't want to mislead anybody. Yeah. But, I mean, one of the great things about a book like this is that it brings the far near to us. And so we are not Chinese, but Judy Lin was born in Taiwan and then immigrated to Canada. So she is she is sharing that piece of history with us and part of her culture. I mean, obviously, she wasn't alive during the Song Dynasty, or that's when it was. But I really feel like I was a guest in her story to share that time and the place. Were there moments in the book where you felt transported that way?
With every little moment, because of how detailed she goes into everything, it's really easy to visualize everything. Like, you're there. You're a part of the story.
Well, I also want to... I feel like it starts with the cover. There's just this beautiful imagery on the cover. It's very, like, nonlinear and colorful with pinks and shades of blue. And it's just... And flowers and, like, beautiful... almost like watercolor possibly, and it's just everything is flowing. So I feel like you start off with just this magical feeling when you start to read the book.
Yeah, that's the word that I was gonna use, magical. I think that just the way it's written and the details and the culture of tea, it's all just very magical and lyrical, as Rebecca said.
So, thank you, Rebecca. So I am really more of a coffee drinker. I'm really more of a water drinker. I just love water. But this did sort of make me want to try a tea ceremony. And as you were talking, Sarah, it made me think this cover is really a great visualization of how I imagined the steam coming off the tea as it steeped in these different ceremonies. And that's one of the really imaginative things that I enjoyed about the book. Rebecca, yes.
Yes, I was going to say, in the beginning, I remember the main character, Ning. She said that she sees things in tea, like it, out of the steam coming out of it, she sees some images. And there are some images on the cover of this book that are what I would think is what Ning sees when she predicts the future, I guess, with tea.
So this is definitely a book that we could judge by the cover.
Yes, 100%. It's very beautiful. And I think that's also a good word for the book.
So we have this beautiful book, and we have this beautiful imagery, and we have this sacred ceremony. I'm going to call it sacred anyway. Mm-hmm. But also, oh my goodness, some... like really, really wild stuff happens that is not there's intrigue, there are murder attempts, there are, like, it's steeped in poison. It's in the title. Mm-hmm. What were there, like, moments of tension that you guys held in your while you read it that you were hoping would be resolved?
Well, throughout the whole thing, I was just really scared for the sister. I was like, she's going through all this stuff, and she's like, okay, when's the cure going to come in? Is she going to find something?
Oh, yeah, she was there at home just wasting away to death, right?
And then she's going on this crazy journey. I'm just like...
So she is the ticking clock. Yeah. So we have a time element in this. It just, you can't just go steep tea forever. You've got to get an antidote.
I remember talking about this book. I don't remember if it was with the author or not, but we were saying how... at the beginning, in the first chapter, it's made very clear that Shu is very, very sick. She's like her body is shaking when she's like dying with every cough. And so it definitely adds to the suspense of the adventure, because you just remember that one thing right as she leaves. So the first real encounter that we have with the sister, and she's like dying, very close to death. So
yeah, it's almost like a race against the clock for her sister. And then also we were introduced to some characters that we're not sure how to feel about.
Are you talking about Kang?
Yeah, we can't figure out, we can't get the pulse on if we should trust him, if Ning should trust him,
or if Ning should kiss him.
If Ning should kiss him,
that's a different kind of tension. Yeah.
Yeah. So there's some mystery wrapped around the whole plot with the sister, and then also with Kang.
With the princess and her bodyguard.
Oh yeah.
So her bodyguard is very much protective the way Ning is. Like, Ning travels all of this way and gets invested in this competition to save her sister. And here's this bodyguard putting her physical self in harm's way to protect the princess. So lots of protection going on. Mm-hmm. So, Rebecca, you have siblings, and you've brought this up. You have sisters.
Yes, I have three older sisters.
And so does Judy Lynn. Judy Lynn, I don't know how much she would do to support her sister, but she did tell us that her sister read all her books. She was like the beta reader for this book, so I would say her sister would do a lot for her. Mm-hmm. Did all of those sibling relationships ring true to you?
So my sister dynamic in our family is kind of unique because they are all more than 10 years older than me, but they're all within 2 years of each other. So I'm the baby, and I think that they would go really far to protect me because they just definitely have a sense of protectiveness over me after seeing and vividly remembering me being born and me at a very young age. So I do think that dedication and love and loyalty is very accurate to what I would feel. And I would also, I don't know if I would, like, it seems like a lot of work, but I do.
to leave home by yourself, travel across the way.
They're all like in their late 20s. They can do it themselves. They can do it for each other. I'll be supporting from the sidelines. But I do understand that insane love. And my sisters all live far away, and I miss them so much. And I would do anything to see them. So,
Thank you for sharing that. Echo, are there relationships in this book that you connected with?
Well, I also have a younger sister, and then...
Oh, how exciting. Yeah. Would you?
I know there's times where, like, I think they got hurt during a game, and I was, like, so tempted to just go fight that little kid.
Like in a soccer game, your sister got injured?
No, playing basketball. And it's like, that's also my sport, so I'm, like, extra competitive in there.
I love this because, like, there's such a stereotype around sibling rivalry and siblings who would set their brother or sister up for getting in trouble with mom and dad.
I do have that temptation.
So they both can live together.
Yeah, it's like they're 13, okay? And then I'm over here at 17, and they're almost at my height, so they're making fun of me at every moment because I have, like, an inch or two over them still.
Yeah.
So I'm just getting bullied, like, I'll kick you.
Well, so the second book has Shu and Ning and the princess and her bodyguard going out into the world. Oh, you know, but that's probably a big spoiler. Spoiler. Shu lives long enough, I guess, to be in a second book. A Venom Dark and Sweet. Thank you, Sarah, for reminding me of the title. But she doesn't, we don't really see in this book any downsides or negatives to that relationship. Unless I'm wrong, correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, I guess it kind of seems, I mean, there's some definite sacrifice.
Yes, because so, Ning is apprenticed to dad and medicine, and Shu is apprenticed to mom and tea. Yeah. And so how does Ning feel about that in this book? How does she feel about her sister having the tea apprenticeship?
Yeah, I think she was maybe a little bit jealous or just upset that things ended up playing out the way they did with Ning having to be the one who needed to save Shu and not having the optimal knowledge and tutoring. I also wanted to bring up that I think another reason that Ning went to such extreme lengths is because she felt very guilty because the poison was sort of her fault because she gave it to her mother and her sister. And I do think guilt also played into that role of
adventure.
So we did get to meet Judy Lin. She met with us after we read the book. What do you recall learning from her in that meeting?
Well, we learned a lot because we asked, like, how the teas, like, what kind she used, what she really wanted looked into. She brought a lot from her culture.
So she talked about in Taiwan that they were known for the oolong tea or the high mountain oolong tea.
So we got to learn about, like, a bit how those kind of rituals work and then how, like, how much she implemented into it. And, like as you said earlier, this perfect mix of, like, real and not real to mix in the magic.
And she traveled home as well to make sure.
Yeah, I was going to mention that somebody did ask if she traveled to get more inspiration, and she said that she did, which I think is really cool to just immerse yourself fully into that. Or not fully, since she didn't, like, go back in time, but in that area and put a little bit more truth and realness into what she was writing.
Well, thank you, Rebecca and Echo and Sarah, for sharing your thoughts about Magic Steeped in Poison by Judy Lin. We're about to read another book. Who would like to introduce that book?
Our next book that we are reading is called Echoes of Grace by Guadalupe Garcia McCall.
And so we're going to get to talk to her at the Festival of Books, and we're really looking forward to that. Meanwhile, we need to thank Sarah Logan, who is our lit discussant, and Liam Arias for being our sound engineer and podcast manager. Superstar. Every time I never really know quite what whatever he wants to be, he can be. We are recording in the Dial Lab at the University of Arizona College of Education.